Now, one of the constants that the Bible proclaims over and over and over and over again and again from the beginning to the end is this. You ready? God does the impossible. That message certainly rings through the Gospel of Luke, and it is a major theme in the story of Christmas. That message that God does the impossible is the central truth proclaimed in the story that Barbara just set before you this morning. In today's Bible reading, we meet an elderly couple. Their names were Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was a priest, a descendant from Levi, and she too was of that same priestly tribe. The scripture tells us that they lived devout lives. They were good, honest people, dedicated to living life so as to please God. But they were childless. Now, they were elderly, old people, well past the years when they could have children. Though they had wanted children all their married life, they had come to the place where they realized that they were just not going to have them. The time was long gone, and they were resolved to it. They were just not going to have kids. Now, this was a problem in that though they were good, honest people who loved God and sought to serve Him, everybody back then considered it a curse from God when a couple did not have children. So everybody else said that God must have had some reason from withholding this blessing to Zechariah and Elizabeth. The people argued, probably gossiped behind their backs, that these two must have had a deep, hidden, secret sin. Though they seemed to be devout on the surface, underneath something was wrong. Clearly, God was cursing Zechariah and Elizabeth because He had withheld from them the blessing of children. But one day, when Zechariah was on duty in the temple, by the time that Jesus was born, folks, there were so many descendants of Levi living in the land that an individual priest was on duty at the altar only 2 weeks out of the year. I keep thinking, what a great job for a beach house. Okay, he only had to work at the temple for 2 weeks out of the year. And it was Zechariah's 2 weeks to serve. The scripture says it fell to him by lot. That means they cast dice to see which one of them would be picked to do this particular task. And it fell to Zechariah by lot to enter the holy place and to burn incense before the Lord. Now, this was a great honor. It was entirely possible that you could go your whole lifetime as a priest and never go into the forbidden parts of the temple, the holy place and the holiest place. You would never go there. But it fell to him this particular time, by chance, to go into the holy place and to burn incense to the Lord. Just as a reminder, chance is never chance in God's hand. So while Zechariah was there, an angel appeared to him in the holy place. The sight of the angel scared the old man almost to death. When you're old, you got to be careful about shocks. And the angel told Zechariah that God was going to do the impossible. The angel told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth were going to have a child. The angel explained that the child would be the forerunner of Israel's Messiah. He explained that this child's birth would let all the people know that the Messiah, Jesus, was coming to earth. His function was to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, this was good news for two reasons. Number one, their curse was lifted. If God had been displeased with Zechariah and Elizabeth, as everyone insisted that he must be because they did not have children, he apparently was no longer displeased with them. For miraculously, they were going to have a child. God was going to do the impossible. And this was good news, reason number two, because Israel's long-awaited Messiah was coming to earth to set God's people free. This was indeed good news. But it was at this very moment that Zechariah made a crucial mistake. Hearing the news, Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" Translate it, "How can I believe what you just said?" Oh my. Zechariah had just received good news. The best news from the mouth of an angel. In fact, the angel that appeared to Gabriel was not just an angel. He was one of God's highest order of angels. He was Gabriel, an archangel, an angel set by God over other angels. And Zechariah said to this angel's face that he needed proof of these things beyond the angel's words. He confessed in that simple little phrase that the circumstances of his life, his old age, in fact, made it impossible for him to believe what he had just heard from the mouth of an angel. A couple things here. First of all, you need to cut the old man a break. Because the word angel in the Greek, in the original language, doesn't necessarily mean a divine being. It means a messenger sent from God. And that messenger could be quite human. Remember that. But then you also need to remember that what Zechariah did is exactly what you and I tend to do. We get so fixated on the circumstances that are in front of us, don't we? We see all the reasons for the impossibilities, don't we? And when we get fixed on the circumstances and on the impossibilities, we find it very hard to trust God. Don't we? So when his angel stands up in front of us on Sunday morning and says God makes it his business to do the impossible, we sort of say, well, maybe. But it ain't likely. Not today. See, Zechariah's reaction is exactly like ours. And Zechariah's reaction made Gabriel, the archangel, angry, I think. See, I'm not really sure that angels are allowed to get angry. Okay, I'm not sure about the rules for angels. But it looks good to me to say that the angel got angry. And big warning here, you don't want to get an angel angry. Gabriel looked at the old man and he said, "So you want proof, do you, buddy? Well, here it comes. You will not be able to utter another word until after the baby is born." And from that moment on, Zechariah could not speak. He did not utter a word until after John was born. It is not good, folks, to doubt the word of an angel. But the simple fact is this: it did indeed happen, just as the angel said that it would. 9 months later, Elizabeth, an old woman, well beyond the years for having a child, gave birth to a son. And they named him John, just as the angel had told them to, because you don't mess with angels. We call him John the Baptist, by the way, of which all of us Baptists are proud. He did indeed go before Jesus the Messiah, crying out to all of Israel, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." It all happened just as Gabriel said. And the moment that the child was born, the old man father was again able to speak. And it all happened to show us, to proclaim to us again, that great, oft-repeated frame of the Bible. See, God did the impossible. So now, here we are. And is there something in your life this morning which you have stamped impossible? Is there a mountain in your life so big that you know you can't move it? Is there a burden before you which is so heavy that you cannot lift it? Is there something about you today over which you have pronounced no way? Then I challenge you to remember the oft-repeated lesson of the Bible. God does the impossible. He can move the mountain you can't move. He can lift the burden which is too heavy for you. God can make a way. He does the impossible. It may not be the way you want it done, of course. It may not happen according to your plan or to your timetable. But even now, God is still in the same business. Even today, God does the impossible. Just one word of caution. When the angel comes, don't make him mad.